Horseback scan initiated. I'm picking up a podcast arriving. Wait, designation. Forge the Narrative.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined by Tanya Gates.
Hey, everybody.
And Adam Camilleri.
G'day.
How are y'all doing? It's going to be a bit of a short show this time, so I apologize in advance. But this is Halloween. We're doing this recording on October 31st, which got an action-packed evening. Did some trick-or-treating. It's actually my wedding anniversary. So.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. Spent some time with the wife. Went out to dinner. Watched some shows. Doing normal stuff. But, you know, nice to celebrate that together time. And had some great trick-or-treating in the neighborhood, which is nice. The weather was very perfect. We've kind of really lucked out today. But letting you know what's going on to kind of explain the brevity of the show this week. But still got some cool topics to talk about. I'm going to talk a little bit about the World Championships that are coming up here. Tanya's getting a nice doubles event with a cool concept I want to talk about. And then kit bashing a bit for the Marines. I've actually put some stuff into practice that we've been talking about in previous shows and kind of wanted to describe how that was going. But how are y'all doing?
Me? I'm really good. Yeah, I've been so in Canada, you kind of, if you prime with a rattle can, you kind of have to like get your ducks in a row before it gets too cold. So I've been building all of my scions that I've had in my backlog to get them all ready for priming. It's going to be one of my wintertime projects this year.
The painting.
Yes, part? The painting.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, very cool. How about you, Adam?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm contemplating a new Old World project. I might be picking up some dwarves. And I have some dwarves. I've got two Battle Skull Pass dwarf sets. But some of those models do not spark joy. I would say that. And so there's a lot of new ones that, in fact, do spark joy. So, yeah, I'm contemplating a new Old World adventure. Also, I need to get my spray booth, my airbrush set up, because I've got 15 more scions to crank out before the end of the year.
And you're in the new place now, so...
Yeah, just moved into my new house.
Do you have a dedicated hobby area, or is this got to be mobile?
Not as of yet. This room you see in right now is for my particular use. I have the sitting area, the maison, the fromagerie in the back, and my dressage over here. But it's a big empty room right now. This desk you see next to me in this region is going to be the painting desk. This is for work, and then to the left is going to be for podcasting. It's going to be podcasting, work, and painting down the end there. But I still need somewhere to set up my my spray booth, because obviously I'm not going to do it inside.
I got it. Well, it's a thing, and good luck. It's I've kind of gone more with the brush and not the airbrush recently, but maybe try to get back into it. I've let my workhorse of an airbrush just kind of sit, and I think it's either dechromed itself. I tried to break it out to something, and it just didn't go well. I'm like, you know what? I've had this thing for 15, 18 years or something like that. So probably time to get something a little more modern. But I will say my hardware store air compressor worked like a champ for, over a decade. So it doesn't always have to be the fanciest stuff. Just get to learn to use your tools. But yeah, I'm curious how your journey with that goes. My hobby that I've been working on is, I can't remember if it was on this show or one of the other ones we did about like how to make your squads look a little bit different. I guess it had to have been that we're talking about, like, build the first kit just like the box says, and then the second kit switch up arms and that kind of stuff. And done that with the secondary guard. And, they done all kind of like cool poses with the spears and, basically taking the set of arms and, shifting them one over so they go in one other little body with the secondary guard. One of the, this is going to sound, believe me, I'm not complaining, but if you're a kit basher, one of the unfortunate things with that is that the legs, they're not like the old school minis to where the torso, the chest is one bit and the legs are another bit. They intermingle with each other to form the full model. So you're somewhat limited in at least without some strong surgery about your torso and leg configuration, but your arms and your heads and some other things, full range of all that you might expect from classic builds. So messing with the arms, working in some other bits, you know, here and there, try to make them look a little bit different. I noticed that I had not used one of the heads from the previous sprue, so that was obviously a candidate to use on the next three. So I knew that at least one of those heads would be completely different, you know, just to mess with the look. But I got some cool poses. Like one's got, it's like he's clearly like spinning the spear behind him, like he's about to either throw it or you know, use some momentum and jab on it. But painting three more Sanguinary Guard, all with the spears. I think that's a really good run. And also put together Blood Guard. And what I discovered a little bit too late was that the swords from the Sanguinary Guard work really well on swords. Well, they'd be great Marine swords no matter what. But when swords on the Blade Guard. But I built these Blade Guard in like the poses. It's a very versatile kit. And I built those Blade Guard basically in their do nothing poses, their rest poses, like one's, you know, chilling or sword on his hip or pointing somewhere or whatever. But I did have one sword that's out. And I'm like, man, that should really be one of these fancy swords.
I missed them all opportunity.
Yeah. Shields. It's not too late. I could just clip the fist off and put the sword on. But, you know, I was moving kind of fast, you know, planning these things out. The Sanguinary Guard kit, after you assemble them, have some very, very choice bits that I think would work on almost all Marines of all chapters with a little bit of creativity. So well done. Well done.
Nice.
Yeah, getting that all ready. But yeah, and speaking of, you know, I guess let's actually jump into that speaking of events and getting ready for them, the duo events, Tanya, that you were talking about.
Yeah, it's a really cool event that's going down. It's just a really small, I think it's only like 6 tables, you know. So basically what the organizers have done is they've had a pool of sort of newer players or returning players that played in older editions that are coming back to 10th right now. And then they've got a pool of sort of veteran players, players who've done at least a few events and can kind of, you know, show them the ropes. And then they just sort of like randomly assigned us our people. And my person's really cool. We've talked a little bit over Discord. He's in like 2 towns over from me, so we don't have the opportunity to get games in before the event, but I think it's going to be fine. But I don't really know that much about his faction. I've played against Tau probably a total of 1 time.
Is Tau the faction that they're bringing?
Yeah. And I let him choose what faction I played, and he chose Imperial Guard, which is good.
Makes sense. You know. Yeah.
And so at least I understand how it feels to be kind of flimsy and only really shoot. So I think that I can help kind of navigate some of the hurdles that you might come up against as Tau, but I really don't know too much about how Tau works.
What's the format? Like, how many points per player? And I assume multiple games in the day.
It's only 2 games. It's 1 day. It's 2 games. And the games run long, so there's going to be lots of opportunity for teaching moments and that. So it's really good. We're each bringing 1,000 points. Nice. And we're each generating command points that we can pool together. And this is specifically because the organizers want us to like encourage our people to like do combos and like learn how command points work and how to get max efficiency out of them.
So run through all of them, all the strats.
Yeah.
Can your strats benefit them and them you?
No. There's absolutely no ways that my rules can benefit them and vice versa. And yeah, so even in the case of Death Guard, where they can like...
Yeah, contagions.
Yeah, they can like soil the objectives or whatever. those benefits can't be reaped by their opponents either, or by their partners either. So they've really worked it out so that it'll still be somewhat balanced. And they're also going through everybody's lists to make sure that all of the veterans basically take a handicap for themselves. I think it's going to be really fun. Nobody can really win, right? The only people who can win are the new players, because they're going to have basically two veterans at every table helping them to figure out how the game works. And it's all been explicitly stated in the player pack as well, like the expectations for everybody. So yeah. It's really well laid out, but I still don't know how to approach helping my person since I don't have enough time to even read through all of the rules and all of the data cards and things.
Are they sharing their list with you beforehand? Did y'all talk about that?
Yes. So he shared his list with me, and then I was like, okay, give me a paragraph about how you think it works, right? And then we had a pretty good conversation about, while you have a lot of power in your shooting in this list, you don't actually have a lot of trash in it to, like, do actions or screen or do anything like that. So I've taken on that role. I'm basically just bringing guard bodies and transports.
Go there, be there, get those points.
That's right. So I'm going to show them how transports work, why they are potentially a really cool piece to have, lots of screening. I'm bringing Gaunt's Ghosts for some uppy-downy scoring and stuff like that. Yeah, so hopefully it works out the way I envisioned in my head.
Well, what's the rest of your 1,000 points?
The rest of my 1,000 points, I have a big unit of Death Corps of Krieg with the Marshal. So that's a 20-man unit. I've got a couple of infantry squads. I've got a platoon squad. I've got Ursula Creed. I've also brought a lot of stuff that I have painted because I think that's kind of cool. Gaunt's Ghosts, Rattlings, two units of 3 Bulgrin in Chimeras, and I have a Scout Sentinel. I think that's it.
That's a lot of stuff. That sounds like
a lot of stuff.
I feel like I'm forgetting something, but it's not coming to my head.
That's all right. Sorry, I'm not holding you to it. I won't be there checking on tournament.
Oh, Scions. I brought Scions too. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And do you have a general idea what's in their list?
Lots of crisis suits, like 9 crisis suits, some stealth suits for the guiding shenanigans, and one other bigger suit, but I don't remember which variation it is. I don't know.
Nice.
Like a Riptide or a Ghost Keel.
I think it's a Ghost Keel. That sounds right. Yeah.
Good choice, by the way, for somebody returning to the game to play, you know, one of the less holistic factions. Like playing Tau is a very good way to get back into the game, because you've got 2 phases to get it all right. So you're not going to be overwhelmed with the charge phase and the nuance of the moving and piling and all those things. So, like, my tips would be to tell your partner to focus on shooting and not being shot back. Is the main keys in the game at the moment. Trying to find the angles where, especially arriving from reserve, you can get that perfect placement, the full control of the delineation of your models, where you get a perfect placement. So, and it's stuff like, all 5 of my guys can see that one Hellblaster. So therefore, I can kill that whole unit of Hellblasters, but when they die and shoot back, or if they overwatch, only one guy's going to shoot me. That's the kind of stuff you want to get proficient at, getting those angles perfect and those lines of fire right. And also movement phase. Like, one thing people talk about even people knock Tau for this, and this is one of the things I'll refute, having played Tau at like the highest level. People say, oh, Tau's brain dead, Tau, you know, blah, 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 they've only played a shooting phase. Disagree. Tau play the movement phase. That's the phase that they actually play. They play the movement phase. And unlike armies that charge and fight, they don't have another set of movements to activate to get themselves out of problems, get themselves out of trouble. Your movement phase has no fat on it. You got to play it correctly, because if you're not shooting, your army's not doing anything, and you don't have any way to reposition, redeploy, remove your units, or, you know, reapply pressure in other phases, because you ain't got none. So you got to play that movement phase tight as possible.
All right. I feel like I have pretty good. My movement phase is pretty good. I don't really have a lot of uppy downy shenanigans to sort of manage, or like 3-inch deep strikes and things like that. So, you know, we'll do our best. And hopefully the people that we meet on the other side of the table, who most of them have even more experience than I do, hopefully they'll be just as helpful because that is the expectation.
Adam, I've heard you say before, you know, like, don't just waste your crisis suits. Like, when you bring them down, make sure that they're not immediately going to get traded for. So that's something to take. So those angles you were talking about, the reason you want to do that, and you know, I heard you say this, is to not put them down in a way that they're going to be compromised immediately. Like, get two turns of shooting out of them, and always try to you know, limit what can the return fire can be on them, because you don't want to just put them down and basically get them picked immediately back up after they've taken out one unit. Try to get at least two units with them.
Yeah, exactly right. And even with the things like the burst sides and the flamer sides, so the flamer suits and the burst suits that are quite you know, cheap points wise compared to the others, you never want to just drop them down in one for one with your opponent. You either if you are going to one for one with your opponent, that's because you're pulling something of value from theirs into a position where it's going to get exposed in the extreme to yourself, and it's going to be much easier for you to pick it up in later turns, or because it's going to pull them out of scoring positions in order to account for you. But you never want to just, you know, here's three crisis suits bombed, killed five scouts, and then I'm dead. That's the worst possible return. You always want to be generating value from the death of your models.
One thing that if I can offer some advice as far as, like, becoming aware of what the what your partner's list can do is, like, I think it's really fair to say that you can kind of get lost into what a unit's abilities are, especially if you're not going back and referencing it, right? But being familiar with, like, the general theme of their stratagems, like, find out which attachment they're using and what their six stratagems are, because sometimes in the back of your mind, you might know that you have to eliminate a certain kind of target, and you might think, don't you have like a plus one AP or something or whatever? And they go, oh, let me check. Or yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. And then that gets them kind of keyed in on maybe what to look for when they're looking, you know, they're trying to figure out, like, crap, how's Overwatch work in this game again? You're like, use that stratagem, spend this pink command point, you know, that does vaguely what that thing is. And then maybe that helps, you know, them have a experience.
Well, interestingly, because you've said that the command points generated by you, Tanya, can be used by so because it sounds like your army is not set up to use a lot of stratagems, grenades, tank shock maybe, but you know, you're not doing super powerful stuff like the 2 CP, you know, extra AP and things like that, so you can really, like, just let your partner have the full playbook open at all times so they can get right into the game and get the most out of it. So I think that's a lovely decision by yourself, because you could have easily just been like, tank commanders and rebel doors and
two command points a turn, yes,
bang, 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 hit the button. Yeah.
I'm really looking at it like it's not a game for me, right? And I think a lot of the vets probably should take a step back and think about it like that. It's not actually a game for us. It's not how we can use all of those command points. It's teaching them to use it. I'm really excited. My person seems really cool as well. So I think, like, no matter what happens, we're going to have a great time. But, you know, I also want to be adding value to him throughout the event as well. So I'm definitely going to look through his stratagems and familiarize myself with them. But yeah, that's a great tip. So thank you.
Even if, like, just knowing, sometimes knowing a unit, you know, like, if they say, if they see something in their list, like, this thing works on this, you know, do that every time or whatever, you know, it's part of the thing. That's one of the hardest things to do is, like, when you're just learning your list and you're trying to learn all of the abilities on the thing, and then you got this other set of things that lay on top of it, and then you're trying to keep track of what your opponent is doing or whatever. It's a lot. So having someone there remind you of that, almost like a coach, is might be beneficial. Might even make him enjoy the game more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish that there was something like this when I was first getting started. Because I think I would have learned so much. Yeah. And even just like, I think I would have been a lot less nervous to go to my first tournament as well, because I would have had an event of some sort under my belt and I would have known people. So I think it's a really neat idea. And I was a little bit on the fence about signing up. But the TOs were just so cool, and they kind of talked me into it, and I don't regret saying yes now.
I think it's great. Like, even the concept is great, because so, like, some of the things you just described of having that apprehension of even going and doing something like this the first time because you don't know anyone. And so going into it, knowing that at least one other person kind of has your back and you're having a bit of a shared experience and maybe communicating with them a little bit beforehand. It might be what some people need to get out there and do it. And as you know, we really believe that getting out there and playing, and if you can go and do it on a grand scale, is very rewarding. But yeah, so there's a lot of reasons for people not to want to do that as well.
Yeah. My biggest sort of worry is that I just don't know enough. You know, like my person is going to be at a disadvantage because I just don't know as much as everybody else. But I'm really sort of putting my faith in the community to like do the right thing and like not pull any gotchas or anything like that. Like that's not the point of this event. So, yeah.
It sounds like the spirit of the event is really cool.
It does. It does. I think that the TOs really nailed the player pack as well. It's like very clear what the expectations are. And I mean, for first-time organizers, that's a huge accomplishment, I think.
Mm. Yeah. Well, let us know how that goes, because the concept sounds neat. I like the idea of the buddy system, pairing people ideally with veteran skill, like you said, versus just kind of the greener side of things and having it meld. And then also that collaborative aspect of it that may be working on both sides of the table. So that kind of spirit.
And people should leave a comment letting us know what our team name should be with Tau and Guard, because I normally am really good at like creating really fun names for things. I am at a loss for this one. So if anybody has any cool ideas for team names, let me know.
That sounds fun. Please do. Please do comment. That's one of the ways to trick the aggregators into having other people come and hang out with us while we do this after the fact. Sorry about the video. I don't know. It only recorded audio. We were on a good run. We'll eventually have all this technology worked out. Sometimes it just does what it does, though. That's unfortunately. in other events coming up, the World Championships of Warhammer is occurring in Atlanta in the 20th?
2 weeks.
Yeah, three weeks or so. Mm. Last year, 46 countries participated. It's going to be more than that this year. I think 60 something countries. We don't know the final count. Well, at least us on the show don't know the final count of who's coming in, what country contingents are going to be coming. But it's going to be a lot, and they're competing to take home the crown of the world champion of Warhammer for the country that can compete across the various game systems. Warhammer 40,000, Age of Sigmar, Underworlds, Kill Team, I think are the four systems in play. I think that's all the ones. Correct me if I'm wrong, Adam. But...
That's enough of the ones.
Okay.
Story of Warcry was one of them.
playing over the course, of several days, all those events, cumulative scores, people have won their way to get there, not just at Games Workshop events, but at independent events all around the globe. People have won their ability to come and compete here, and it's going to go down again here in just a few weeks in Atlanta. There will be streaming coverage. There'll be lots of streaming coverage across multiple channels, multiple games. If there's something you want to watch from this event, you will most likely get to watch some of it or get information of it in some capacity, including the grand narrative. The grand narrative is going to be happening. Hundreds of players are going to be playing in not just Atlanta, but also in Nottingham, I believe, in a communal shared experience over the course of that weekend. Hundreds and hundreds of players that will be playing in the lore. Like the results of what they do will make it their way into the lore. This is now the third one. It's getting better every time, and I can guarantee people are going to have their minds blown.
That's a big claim.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened every year. I feel pretty solid to make that.
Yeah.
we're going to be trying to bring some coverage of that as well. There's a Catechin we all know and love, Axel Hawk, may be there, seeing attendance. But this year is going to be, I think they're building the events team is just building strength on strength on strength for both the competitive side and tournament match play side and the narrative side. And this the spirit and the energy of what's happening in those halls and from the store there, all the things, all the staff, everybody, all the players is electric, and just cannot wait to be there hanging out in my hometown. It's also nice.
Is there going to be hobby classes this year?
I don't know if there is or not. I haven't looked at the schedule. I don't want to say there isn't. I just know I have not looked at that part. I've been real focused on these things we've been talking about. And of course, what places I want to go eat while I'm downtown.
Yep. The most important part of the entire weekend.
Not sponsored at all, but we went to some cool places in Little Five Points last year. And which, if anyone is coming and looking for some suggestions, I can suggest some places that I would go. You're right in the heart of the city. And if you want to get out of the city a little bit, maybe go visit the Brave Stadium. There's a really cool complex that's out and around that with tons of restaurants, good atmosphere, and hopefully the weather stays good. It's not typically that cold here in that time period. Maybe just a jacket, maybe you need, but hopefully the weather stays good for people to get out and explore a little bit of the city, because it is a great city and well known for culture, music, food, all that stuff. I'm excited. If you can't tell, I'm excited.
Do you get a little bit of pride where you're like, yeah, I can share all my hometown stuff with all these people coming in?
It is nice. I don't know. You tell me, we went to some divey places last time, but the atmosphere and food was hopefully pretty good.
I was brilliant. Yeah, I loved it last year. I really can't wait to see where you take us this year, Paul.
Yeah, you got some ideas.
Up in the ante. Was it last year that we had the full team Waffle House experience at was it 12:30? We rocked up at the Waffle House, just finished the last day of streaming. We're like, pancakes. Yeah, that was fun.
No pancakes, waffles. It is Waffle House. Waffles.
Yeah. Sorry. I said the wrong word there.
I'm curious, because you're all about trying new donuts. What is the best place for donuts?
The best. So there are some really good places for donuts. And I will say, though, that the best place to get donuts is still Krispy Kreme when those donuts are hot. When you can get a hot Krispy Kreme and it just actually just melts in your mouth, you just put it in your mouth and it just melts away. Delicious. Delicious. Mm. And there are several opportunities to do that around here. And you're right. That was the Waffle House that we hit after day four, after midnight, after we'd already cleaned up, packed up everything. You know what y'all haven't been to? Waffle House. And Waffle House at night is an experience. Something
brilliant.
It's on my bucket list. Ever since I heard that, you could gauge how bad an incoming storm is off of whether or not the Waffle House is closed. And Waffle House is always the first building that reopens after a storm. Makes me want to see what the deal is.
It's real true. And so, the Waffle House is... it's short order cook, with things like breakfast food, like waffles and bacon and sausage and grits. Grits are delicious. I know there's a lot of people in the world may not know what grits are, but they're delicious. But they've also got, they serve steaks. It's actually, I think, one of the
steaks.
Yeah, I don't get steaks there. I do get cheesesteak sandwiches and hamburgers and grilled chicken. And they've got good pies.
Hey, the burgers weren't as bad as I thought.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think your experience there is sometimes kind of linked to your grill master and wait staff and everything, but they serve so many people, they get so much experience, so you're pretty guaranteed to get good food each time you go there. So, again, not sponsored, but it is certainly, I spent a lot of time there as a kid.
I'd rather go there than McDonald's. So I generally don't, I try not to eat fast food, and Waffle House is, you're just sitting still long enough for me to tick that box, not fast food. So, yeah.
So the hotels down there, the Hyatt is where it is, but the Hyatt is connected through a walkway to the Marriott. And in the Marriott, there's some nice restaurants in there, some cool chill places. That's actually, I know I mentioned this before, but that's where a lot of sci-fi things are filmed. Like Loki, the TV show, the TVA is the Marriott's elevator bank. That's where that, and so it's in tons and tons of movies and TV shows. Mm. It just looks cool in sci-fi. From there, you take another skywalk to the Hilton. And in the bottom of the Hilton is Trader Vic's, which is a well-known tiki place and a kind of fancy-ish food stuff. Delicious. So lots of places you can walk to that are all in that area. If you want to go something a little bit more on the cigar and bourbon side, there is a speakeasy that you have to go through. You have to know the telephone number to get into the place.
Ah, yes.
You can't just walk in the door.
We didn't get there last year. That's true.
We ran out of gas, but we should go.
We did.
But because it's within walking distance, it's all right there. Like there's a lot in that area that's just within
You're giving me FOMO here. Jeez.
Yeah, in the top of the Hyatt, there's a restaurant that like moot circles around. You can sit and see the whole. Well, it used to. I don't know if it still does. But...
That might be a hard pass for me. Your girl's really afraid of heights.
Okay. Yeah. a ton within walking distance, a lot of good stuff, and then you're going to be there with hundreds of other Warhammer players. And so if this is on your list to do, check out the coverage, check out the War Community articles. I know they're probably going to go up talking about stuff. And then, you know, if you do want to get in for next year, put it on your calendar. Hopefully it's in the same place and around the same time period. Because I can't see them not wanting to do this again. It is just an absolute wonderful event. That grand narrative is just getting better and better and better each time. Or try to win an opportunity to come and compete for your country in the World Championships of Warhammer. Pumped. Getting ready. I'm getting more and more pumped every day.
Just ticking off the days on the calendar, hey?
Just trying to do it. Also, you know, I can't wait to see what the list and things that people bring, because this field is going to be a field of all winners. Like, you have people that are coming to this thing that aren't used to losing games, but they're going to lose some games.
Yeah. Where could people possibly find more breakdown of what sort of lists they might find?
Oh, really? Is that... Ooh.
A little plug here?
There's this other program that two members of this show may or may not be associated with, called the Warhammer Meta Chasers, which goes live at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursdays. You may have known it as a different show associated with the Thursdays and some kind of show on a Thursday, but it's now called the Warhammer Meta Chasers, and you can find myself and the beautiful Paul Murphy joined by Dustin Henshaw, and we break down the biggest and brightest events of the upcoming weekend. We also do lookbacks over on our Patreon page, where you get an exclusive 30-ish minute lookback reviewing what did win, what did well, what the top 10 was, and breaking down a spicy list therein.
And how good our predictions were, because we try to predict who's going to win.
Well, one of us needs to stop Dustin this month. We have,
he's on a tear. We'll see what we can do.
Yes, he is doubling us out on the points and the point scale.
That was a rough week for us last week.
Yeah, well,
like for you and I specifically, like we had a rough week.
We got no points. Dustin got 5 points.
Yeah. Which is uncommon. That doesn't really happen, but it's still like it's the bragging rights that we're fighting for over there. But that's some of the discussion that we have on the Patreon show that we do after the fact. But coming and like breaking down the list and what people are playing all over the world, hopefully we'll get the info from this event so we can tell you what some of the top players as ranked by the ITC are bringing. But I think it's going to be like, because these players don't just necessarily bring what they have on the shelf. They brew, and they brew for the environment. And so I'm curious if that's going to impact, because sometimes a good list is good, but we're in an environment right now where you do have some flexibility in what that good is, because things, I'm going to use the B word, kind of balanced right now.
Yep. So absolutely is, mate.
Little nudges with your list may make a big impact into,
huge,
you know, what your win percentage over the weekend might be. If your country takes home the gold or not, we shall see.
Who took it last year? It was United States, right?
No. Okay, I think United States overall, but Warhammer 40K went to the UK.
Okay.
Wow.
And Australia won the kill team. Well, came first, and the Australian player came first in the kill team. And I think Age of Sigmar was...
It's France, right?
France. Yeah, so a French Age of Sigmar player.
We might be getting some of this wrong, by the way, but I'm pretty
sure. a British and an Australian. So
I'm US of A,
up your game.
No, it's
actually very hard. It's literally the sharkest of shark tanks. Like, these aren't just sharks. These are genetically engineered sharks, specifically made for killing other sharks.
Yeah.
Shark-eating sharks, not man-eaters, shark-eaters. Yeah.
So they're the space marines of sharks.
Not physically.
But that's it, and that is our show this week. Stay tuned. I know it's a short one, and I apologize in advance for that. But we'll be back to our normal run next week. It has been a pleasure talking Warhammer, y'all. Keep your eyes peeled. Check the show notes. Can't wait to see y'all next week, everybody. Have a good night.
Bye, everybody.
Horseback scan is clear. I think they're gone, for now.